Hello, this is Millie Long, co-editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Gastroenterology, and I'm thrilled to introduce my guest today, Dr. Anand Kulkarni, who is from EIG Hospital in India, who recently published a very nice trial in the Red Journal that looked at the role of steroids for helping individuals who had what we call alcohol-associated hepatitis or inflammation in the liver related to alcohol. And welcome. We're so glad to have you share your findings from the study.
Thank you, Professor Long, for having me here today.
So let's start. Your study looked at two different durations and dosing of steroids for treatment of this acute alcohol-associated hepatitis. Let's start with just the basics. Why are steroids helpful for treating alcohol-associated hepatitis?
Alcohol-associated hepatitis, hepatitis itself means, itis means inflammation. So there is some inflammation in the liver which is happening because of the large amounts of alcohol intake. And that is what steroids work on. Steroids suppress the inflammation and they may be beneficial for patients with alcohol-associated hepatitis.
So this sounds like a good thing, steroids shutting down inflammation, but there can also be a downside to using steroids. Yeah. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So when you use steroids for longer time or higher doses, you may develop infections. A major disadvantage of this prednisolone or the corticosteroids is the development of infections, which make them actually liable for, they get hospitalized for these infections and probably is one of the reasons for increased risk of mortality in these patients.
So it's a delicate balance. You want to shut down the inflammation, but you don't want to increase the risk of infections. And that was why, in your study, you looked at a couple of different options for treatment. And could you describe the overall design of your study?
So what we did here was, there are two groups. One group who received the recommended dosage according to the ACG and other international guidelines. It is 40 milligrams for 4 weeks. And the other group, which received 40 milligrams for the first week, followed by 30 milligrams on the second, and 20 on the third, and 10 milligrams for the fourth week. And we noted that there is a reduction in the infection in the taper dose, almost 15% reduction in the infection rate in the taper dose compared to the fixed dose.
So this is great. It really changes practice that we can use a lesser dose of steroids and have less complications, but still potentially have the benefits of reducing inflammation. So is there a reason why someone with alcohol-associated hepatitis should not receive steroids?
Patients who have recent variceal bleeding, any patient who has GI bleeding, or patients who have active infection, or patients who have creatinine, that is acute kidney injury with creatinine more than 1.5, should not be receiving any kind of steroids.
Okay. So there's certain individuals who we just know this is not appropriate for, but among those that it is, it sounds like this different dosing strategy can potentially improve outcomes for our patients. And is there, if someone has started on corticosteroids, do they have to fulfill the entire, 4 weeks? Is there a way to assess whether the steroids are working and stop them earlier?
In MILS score, which is calculated on day 7, if it is less than 0.45, ideally less than 0.16, if such individuals have a 0.16 score on per day 7, it's a complex score, which is an online calculator where we can calculate in day 1 and day 7 bilirubin and includes age and other parameters as well. If the score is less than 0.45, then the patient has to continue for another 3 weeks. Otherwise, the drug has to be stopped on day 7 itself.
Okay. So there is a way through this LEAL score to kind of truly assess whether this is effective. And it sounds like, obviously, the results of your study certainly changed clinical practice. But my understanding is that you have another study planned, the STASH-2 trial. And what will this look at? It'll look at a modification even of what you've already studied. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what we actually thought, that probably reducing the duration of steroid therapy itself may reduce the risk of infections, because a shorter duration of 7 days or probably 14 days is sufficient to just suppress the inflammation and then give time for the liver to regenerate.
That's great. Well, we look forward to learning even more about the optimal duration of these steroids itself. So just a final question. And obviously, in the course of this study, we learned a great deal about, the idea of lower of corticosteroids and, reducing the risk of infection. But you learned some other interesting aspects as well. Tell us about some of the other findings.
So these patients who received prednisolone usually can present with rectal bleed because of some changes in the prostaglandin synthesis in and around the hemorrhoidal area. Another thing what we also notice, these patients may not always mount fever. So just presence of generalized weakness, fatigue may also indicate infection in these individuals who are on corticosteroids.
So that's a key take-home point for our patients in that you don't always have a fever if you have infection.
Yeah.
You know, particularly in the setting of acute liver inflammation and being on steroids. And so looking at other symptoms would be important, even if you're just more fatigued or, you know, just non-specific symptoms that you feel worse. You should certainly see your doctor in those scenarios. Is that correct?
Yes, and do not ignore saying that it's probably related to something else or you had something. Most of the people tend to ignore it. And we also have to monitor the sugars, especially with the rising prevalence of diabetes. If you are starting on prednisone, you should definitely monitor blood sugars.
That's a great point, because obviously the blood sugars going up even further increases risk of infection. So something else to be certain to monitor. Well, these are great take-home points that really change clinical practice, which is what we really try to do at the American Journal of Gastroenterology, is really publish trials like yours that help us to treat our patients better, reduce complications, and improve outcomes. And here in this DASH trial, there was no difference in mortality. Patients did just as well in terms of the effectiveness of the steroids, but did much better with the lower dose over the tapered time period because there was less risk of infection. So I think this is something that we'll take to the bedside immediately in the care of our patients.
Yes, absolutely. I hope so. And I'm hearing from my colleagues that they have been tapering their doses of steroids and they are finding quite effective results in their practice as well.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully we will keep publishing practice-changing articles such as yours in the American Journal of Gastroenterology. And thank you so much for joining us for this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.